Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It's Stu Weber at StuWeb.com, and it is July the 4th, 2021. Happy 4th of July, everybody. Independence
Happy
Day.
4th.
And I got Debbie Davis on with me, and she's a former military whistleblower, and she's been on with me before talking about John McCain, and we could bring him up again today, Debbie, but we're all being messed with, and we shouldn't be being messed with. We have a First Amendment right to speak and to say what we want to say without having the government screw with us. And so we're going to kind of talk about that because she's been stopped recently, followed by her cops. I'm being screwed with this for you, being followed by the cops. And we want to talk about what they're doing to people because I think, and so does Professor Joe and others, based on what Whitney Webb, no relationship, unlimitedhangout.com is her site. She talks about what's going to happen to cyber terrorists that they're going to do in August, unleash it. And it's tied to Israel, and it's tied to the New World Order, and it's tied to Satan. It's bad. But they're going to be taking down a lot of sites. They're going to be doing a lot of things. They've tried to do me. I mean, I got 7 million felonies against them. And I'm going to go to court soon, folks, and I'm going to produce that evidence, and someone's going to burn bad. I would say Jackson County Prosecutor's Office, Gene Baker. I think you got prison time coming for running the operation for Division Number 5 of the FBI. That's Joint Task Force Group who stalks me, local police, local yokos. They call them the intelligence divisions of the police department. They drive around in their brand new pickup trucks or their brand new cars that don't look like cop cars. And they follow you and they tail you and they move from one city to another. And they bring teams in, like the Google Fiber team boys down there that planted the bomb on Trump's, or tried to put a van out there on his tarmac where he was doing a speech at a hangar in Springfield, Missouri in his first year of presidency, and it was full of explosives coming out of Google Fiber. Well, I found the car that crashed me the first time, roll over, hit me in the left rear after bouncing off the wall, professional hit. I found his car fixed down there in the Google parking lot with the same license plates about 3 months after they car crashed me. Trying to murder me, broke my neck, disabled me now, the whole bit. But this is the kind of stuff that goes on. Now, Debbie, tell people your story about your National Guard service, so forth, and John McCain, and then tell them what they've been doing to you.
Well, I was on the Stu's show just about a month ago with it, and I told the original part of my story, how I was just an admin NCO. I was in the Minnesota National Guard for 8 years, and I moved to Arizona and joined the National Guard there, and it was like night and day difference with the leadership, and it was not good in Arizona. And I just ended up having a full-time active guard reserve job at the Arizona National Guard, and I became admin and supply, and I basically, because I had to do the pay for the units and things like that, I ended up, you know, kind of in and out of the finance office and the areas around there, and we noticed a lot of things that made us uncomfortable. The girls noticed illegal withdrawals, some of the illegal withdrawals made from the emergency relief fund, and then so when it finally got reported to the Arizona Auditor General, they found they did end up doing an audit. And now I don't know who any of those people were that did the audit, but I just know that it somehow got there to the Arizona Auditor General, and they did do a real audit. Probably a bunch of those people are no longer there, I'm guessing, because they get in a lot of trouble for actually finding what was going on there. They found $2.7 million missing. So, because the original guy that I reported it to, a liaison at the governor's office, then I noticed, like, shortly after I reported it to him, he was no longer at the governor's office. See, this is what they do. Like, you try reporting. I mean, it was just so corrupt in Arizona, I couldn't believe it. But they did find $2.7 million. They never said that we were the ones who reported it. I have the correspondence between me and the governor's liaison, thankfully. And so I know it was me that reported it because I have the correspondence. But they never, you know, acknowledged us for actually being the ones to report it. And then they came after for me and anyone involved like crazy and ruined our careers basically in Arizona. But the last video that I just did on my channel was exposing how now, you know, with this audit, obviously I'm sure it's the same people involved in Arizona that were probably involved in what happened at my base. It's probably the same group of people involved in trying to cover up this audit in Arizona. And I believe it's the Arizona Mafia, you know, who's involved. Well, so what nobody ever talks about is Cindy McCain, how she came. Her family was held, the Hensley family, who was Mafia, right?
Yes, I'm familiar.
About that?
Yes, I'm familiar with her coming from a mob family. And that's one of the reasons John McCain, I think he was kind of pushed over to Cindy McCain when he was married and introduced to her. And it was a setup because McCain was just a slime ball. Now, you know, John McCain was a traitor, folks. He sat over in Vietnam after he got shot down. He was a prisoner of war in Vietnam, and he was telling everything, whatever they wanted to know. He was sitting at the Hilton Hotel while everybody else was in death camps, other political prisoners. His father was an admiral, and his father was the one that covered up. What was that? The USS something. I interviewed the guy years ago. It was our ship that was in the Persian Gulf, or not Persian Gulf, but over there in the area where Israel is and Palestine, and dragged us into the Egyptian-Israeli war. Israel shot one of our boats, and McCain covered it up, the admiral. Now, what was interesting is all the POWs got a stay of execution, should we say, for treason and sedition and all that, including John McCain, a blanket that they wrote, I think it was Nixon wrote it, at the father admiral's request. That way they would cover it up, and McCain wasn't just singled out as, oh, he can't be prosecuted for talking at the Hilton. And so anyway, he was a traitor against America, and his father, the admiral, covered it up, the same admiral that covered up our ship getting shot over there in Israel, shooting it to drag us into that war. And McCain's wife, or McCain, he always answered to Larry Mizell and Norman Brownstein, the two APEC directors who controlled him, because my ex-witch doctor, ex-wife, whatever you want to call her, her father, I never knew he was a mobster, never knew anything about him, didn't have anything to do with him when I was married to this witch. Her father was the one controlling all of Phoenix, Arizona. He took over for Meyer Lansky. Now Larry Mizell took over for Millman when he died. And a super spook, Otis Johnson, said whatever lived in your ex-father-in-law when he died had lived for thousands of years before he inhabited Millman. And he said it moved to Mizell. He was the anointed one. Now, both of these lawyers, Brownstein and Larry Mizell, Brownstein runs all the trusts and so forth, and Mizell, and he, by the way, 3 years out of law school, right out of law school, Millman hired them both. One is in 72. And in 75, Brownstein becomes a CIA director for Daddy Bush when he was CIA counsel, when he was CIA director, and he was Bill Barr's direct boss. There were six of them over there, the six CIA counsel, and they started the mortgage fraud, where they were going in, stealing people's equity and saying, we own your houses, as a test to see if they could get away with it. And they used the Central Intelligence. They did it in Inglewood, Colorado, by the way. But
John McCain was wrapped up in some scam like that.
But McCain's wife, there's a story up there by Tom Flacco about John McCain, Cindy McCain, on my site. Just punch in Cindy McCain, and it'll come up in the search bar on my site. And Flacco had done several stories for me. And so forth, but he wrote about this stuff pertaining to McCain because Otis gave it to me, Super Spook, and a couple other guys told me all about McCain. Now, they're supplying the chemicals over in Afghanistan for a dry cleaning plant, supposedly, in the middle of a war zone. I don't think so. You clean your own clothes, you're in a war zone. Now, at least that's the way it
was. That's what Cindy McCain is involved in, some kind of dry cleaning plant.
Yes.
But what I heard is that she's really involved in bringing heroin over.
Yeah, she's bringing. What she's doing is she's taking the chemicals they need to make paste out of, what is it? heroin or whatever it is coming out of Afghanistan. What is it? Not heroin. Opium. Whatever it is. They need a paste. And then they fly it in drones. And then we're flying it down here to Knob Noster, Missouri, the big air base. But they changed course. Because I talked to a couple of people that worked there. And they said they started going to Hollywood base. Hollywood, Florida. There's an airport there. And that airport had a hangar. And the hangar was owned by N. Bush as in Neil Bush, the deed on it. And L. Millman as in Leonard Millman were the initials on the deed. Now, one guy who stuffed the thing with $5 million in cash from a Florida operation that Jeb was running, mainly they were running the Texaco Oil, Pier 66, I think it was. They were running the drugs in there from Colombia in submarines. But he was involved in that. And he told me they took $5 million, opened up the hangar door because he had a key to it. Certain ones had a key that were delivering the money, and it had to be accounted for every dime. He said money started falling out. About $10 million, he said he had to throw in the car because he didn't have a ladder tall enough to throw it up in there, back in. And he said he had to call him. He had to be there next morning, do a full accounting, extra $10 million in his car. Now, that's how serious Hollywood, Florida base is, folks. And they're flying the drones in there now.
And that's happening still, you think?
Yes. As far as I know, it is. It's a couple of years ago.
Oh. Wow. Okay. Well, yeah, I just looked up the scandal you were talking about, the real estate scandal McCain was involved with. It was called the Keating Five. He was one of the ones involved in that, too.
Well, yeah, I was the whistleblower on what was known as the MDC 200, and it turned into the word the Keating Five. Yeah, I blew them apart. Well, they were all involved. And Charles Keating, he was all wrapped up in it, and I helped put Keating in jail, worked with a little rock law firm, met with the private investigator for 3 days here in Kansas City. They went over everything I had that tied MDC to it, because they ended up in a suit over it with McCain.
McCain
got put in jail. But the problem is...
I didn't know you were involved in that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I caused a congressional investigation on Silverado and with Neil Bush, and Bill Black, my friend... the professor at the University of Missouri, Kansas City, teaches law. He was the lawyer for the FSLIC that shut him down.
Oh, wow. That's
so
interesting.
I've had him on. You go to Radio Bar and look up Bill Black. I think I interviewed him about a year ago. But he talked about how hard it was to even get anything done. That's the reason he left him.
Yes, I hear you. Well, I'm just kind of interested in, we've been watching this audit in Arizona, and the last video that I did on my channel, I was exposing how there was this, did you hear about that sheriff that was caught in the middle of the night on May 15th in the auditorium?
No.
The Maricopa County Sheriff.
Is that the new one they've got down there?
Yeah, I don't know. What I heard is that he's a dirty sheriff. Some of these people weren't even voted in. They were just put in there by powers above. Some sheriffs, and that's just there. Other parts of the country, they were just, nobody really voted them in. They were just put in.
Yep. That's
how they... probably George Soros, possibly. But, May 15th, there was, One America News has cameras all over that auditorium. Where the audit is going on at One America News is my understanding, and 24 hours a day there's surveillance. So in the middle of the night on May 15th, the lights went out in the auditorium for a few minutes or maybe 15 minutes or something. I don't know how long, but they got the lights back on somehow by either the White House or miraculously or something, and the sheriff and somebody from Katie Hobbs' office was caught in there, right in the auditorium room. So I talked about that on my channel and how, and then they tried to cover up that video. It was on Nick Fleming's channel, I believe, and they tried to cover up that video where they got caught. So, that's right there sends a big...
What were they doing? Stealing ballots or something? What?
They probably broke in. They didn't have authorization to be in there. So pretty much it's like breaking and entering.
What kind of records were in there?
I don't know. It was May 15th when they were starting to, all those organizing tables. They were probably stealing something. I would guess.
Yeah.
You know.
You see
but this was just, I've had a lot of problems with my sheriff at my town in South Dakota, and I believe he's the type. It's the same type of sheriff where nobody even remembers ever voting for this guy. He was voted in like 10 years ago in this particular county, but nobody ever like voted him in. He was just like put in because there was nobody running against him. So, some of these sheriffs, you can't just assume that they're good just because they're sheriffs, because they were put in by powers that be like higher up. And right. That it means the opposite. It means a lot of them are not good.
They aren't good. I've got nieces and nephews that I don't have anything to really do with, but some are in law enforcement. I'll put it that way. And believe me, what we have in this country, now they all seem to be pretty honest, but what we have and what I've encountered, what you've encountered, and what they've told me about their bosses and stuff, uh-huh. I go, oh my God, it's that bad.
It's probably scary for the ones that want to try to be good police officers, is what I've been told. It's so yep. scary. It's the bad ones are so scary that the good ones are afraid of the bad ones.
Yeah, and you see what the problem is.
They don't even know what to do, because even the good officers that want to try to do a good job, they are afraid to, because a lot of times their boss is corrupt.
That's correct. Now,
so it goes. So if somebody's a corrupt higher up, then then it goes down below. But I did hear that the state troopers are now involved in helping secure the border in Texas, if that's true, and the National Guard.
Well, they're so putting a wall up in Texas. They're going to have a complete wall, they said, on the border. Texas is building a wall.
Yeah, they're building a wall. Mm-hmm. They're going to continue building the wall. So I heard from a state trooper actually in Texas, and that could listen to my channel, I guess. And he said that they're there and building the wall.
That's good.
I mean, they're helping the National Guard now.
Right. That should be.
So, I mean, those, and hopefully the good police, will start to stand up. Well,
we saw some public officials stand up, and that's good down in Arizona. We've seen them in Georgia, now Wisconsin. And these states, before this is over with, are going to be heads flying. I'm telling you, this is going to be bigger than what people realize. There's going to be some prosecutions, some people. It's all off in a ways, but it gets there. You have to do it privately, like they did with Keating, Charles Keating, sending him to jail.
Uh-huh.
Has to be a RICO of some type. And
yeah.
I believe Sidney Powell and Lynn will probably be moving on some stuff here not far away.
But, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, everything, which people just because you don't hear anything on the mainstream news, everything is happening behind the scenes.
A lot of investigations have to be done. It takes a lot of time, a lot of work,
mm-hmm.
For a law firm. I mean, they have to really dig, spend a lot of time, a lot of money, resources.
Yeah. But they're going to fight. They're going to fight every tooth and nail because they don't want to lose power.
And they got a proper case. I mean, we had treason sedition on election day, okay? That was treason sedition as far as I'm concerned. Putting Biden in there?
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I knew from the very beginning this wasn't going to be easy. I mean, basically, they hijacked our country it's gone on for longer than what people realize.
Well,
And they aren't going to go down easy.
When I saw the real hit was, of course, turn of the century, but it's always been here because of the aliens, which are the fallen angels possessing people. But what I saw was the J.P. Morgan crowd back in the 1900s. But everybody told me the real power came with the OSS after World War II. That's when the power kick started. And it was the 79 in the super program, which Daddy Bush was one of them. Leonard Melman was another. A general I knew, I'm trying to think of his name, he's written about defrauding America, where they write about me, Rodney Stitch. But Bowen,
uh-huh.
And he landed to help Iran-Contra whistleblower Al Martin, which I got his book published called The Conspirators. And I'll send you a copy, Debbie, because I actually owned 10% of it. I never got a dime. But and they murdered him. But
well, it's just,
Bowen was one of the super 79 super program. And in 1986 or 87, he landed a 727 that was meant for Miami airport, full of cocaine, that he was flying as a two-star U.S. general, working for the OSS still. He flew it into Atlanta and had feds there and had media there and everybody. And they arrested everybody and threw him to Springfield, Missouri, where I got the famous trip that said there wasn't anything the matter with me. They kept him in a coma for 5 years under a needle, in a coma. And then they sent him home after 5 years to his wife, told her to keep her mouth shut, told her where he was and that he was alive. And if she wanted his paycheck each month, she should keep her mouth shut. And she did. But anyway, that was General Bowen. They do this to people. Now, the OSS, the OSS is still in operation. It became basically Criminals in Action, called the CIA. Criminals in Action. And that's the way I understand it from everybody. And they infiltrated our government so heavy. They infiltrated all the police departments. They did everything. It was under Operation Cotola, Colonel Cotola, back in 1975 when Daddy Bush was CIA director. And you could punch in the Cotola affidavit, C-U-T-O-L-A affidavit, on my search box and my site and it'd come up. But it explains an operation that they were doing, which is targeting and bugging all the police departments, the police chiefs, the sheriffs in the country, the governor's offices, all the federal judges' offices, all state judges' offices. They did everybody. And then what they did is they used that video as blackmail. Later, they would go and say, oh, Sheriff so-and-so, listen, we got this problem. Her name is Debbie Davis over here. And some CI dude walks in there with a couple pictures of him screwing his secretary on the couch there. And he walks in there and says, we need you to arrest Debbie Davis on a fake charge. Well, I'm not going to do that. We're not going to do any fake stuff. And all of a sudden, someone drops. Of course, they've already seen a CI badge. And he drops a picture. And then all of a sudden, the guy says, what do you want her arrested on? Make up something. Then you get arrested. That's the way the picture used to work.
That's their favorite thing to do is just make up a charge.
But they blackmailed all under the Cotola. They ran an operation, Bush did, a CIA operation, using the military. And there was a suit later on about it, the whole bit. But I've got that stuff up on my site. And it's powerful to see what they did when Bush was CIA director in 75. That's when, after they murdered Kennedy, it was the OSS then murdering Kennedy, and then Bush becoming CIA director. Oh, shit. Everything from that point on, it was theft, theft, theft. And now they own the country. We went from 20% of the economy being controlled by 1% of the population in 1981, according to the General Accounting Office, which gives the numbers to the Congress and Senate. It has authority to arrest but not prosecute. If they find somebody wrong, they turn them over to Attorney General. But they answer the Congress and Senate, and they get their numbers from the Comptroller of Currency, the IRS, Treasury Department, etc., to watch who owns the economy and how the economy is doing. Now, 81, they said 1% controlled 20%. In 2012, they said the 400 men controlled 95% of the U.S. economy. And after bank bailout, because I was the whistleblower on that, and you can even see afterwards, I hit the SEC, everybody else, to ensure that they got nailed. And Home America Mortgage, Larry Mizell's company out of Denver, a subsidiary of MDC, got popped for $2.5 billion fine for his role in creating $100 trillion with artificial mortgages, but he never went to jail. J.P. Morgan paid around $16 billion, and shortly thereafter, Larry Mizell, which was Milman's company, Power Financial of Canada, a subsidiary, is called Great West Life of Denver, of Inglewood, Colorado, subsidiary of Power Financial, largest bank in Canada, that Milman controlled, that was Meyer Lansky's early on. He created insurance company, who owns HSBC Bank, the largest in the world, that was laundering money from Silverado into HSBC through, et cetera. It's in another book called The Mafia, CIA, and George Bush by Pete Bruton. And you see the money trail. But this company peddled or bought all of J.P. Morgan's pension funds, which was about 42 to 44% of the pension funds, and bought it right after bank bailout. So they'd have enough money, and they could transfer those pensions. So Mizell controls about 44% of the pension funds through Great West Life, and Norman Brownstein controls 48% of the pension funds through another company, Fidelity Financial, in Denver. And these are the two APEC directors, the two Jews that are the controlling the Jewish mob in America, who are Daddy Bush's partners, who are Clinton's partners, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And they're now controlling 400 men, controlling 95% of the economy, and these two men are controlling almost 90-some-odd percent of the pension funds in America. And you see these companies going bankrupt, such as Payless Shoes, Pennies, et cetera. It's because they're consolidating, and they're moving that into the pension funds, and then they dump the pension funds, and they drop. So they don't get hurt by it because the people are contributing, because they're controlling all the businesses, and they're contributing to their pension funds. And they're over here stealing out the rest of the economy. And that's what they're doing right now. Go ahead, Debbie.
Well, yeah, I didn't know that history. So I'm sure a lot of people...
I follow the money trail, is what I've always followed.
But I was just, you know, I've just been, you know, I'm just tired of hearing all these people being killed, whistleblowers, soldiers. I mean, so it wasn't just at my base, because I talked about how you know, it's not like you purposely try to stumble upon these type of things. You know, you're just working somewhere, and there might be some kind of savings and loan scam going on at the place you work, or your base might be used as a CIA operation, or corruption going on. You know, it could be happening everywhere, because apparently they're doing money laundering at many money laundering and different, you know, money scams, like you were talking about, not just at military bases, but everywhere. Somebody told me ASU was involved too. I mean, you never know. And so if you accidentally are, you know, too close to knowing too much about any of these things, you could end up dead. That's what's so scary about it. You know, it's not like, that's what's so scary about it to me. And so I don't know if you heard about that one, the death of that one soldier, a young woman, that Vanessa at Fort Hood.
No,
did you hear about her death?
No, I have not.
So when I was in Texas, I was hearing more about different things that happened at Fort Hood and Fort Bliss. And because, so they have apparently a lot of corruption going on there. And there was this one young girl that ended up dead. I think she was only 20 or something, or 21. And she was found dead and dismembered outside of the base. And then her family, there still hasn't been justice with her family. And now her family is trying to bring light, because there's apparently been 31 soldiers now that have died there. 11 of them were reported suicides, and 5 homicides.
Suicide, sure.
Yeah, but see, when they say suicide, what if you had, how do you know for sure it was a suicide? How do you know they weren't suicided?
I call it, you know, anytime they say that the person suicided, or they car crashed, their favorite is, you know, one of the two. Either your car crash, roll over and kills you, or you slam a tree or something, or, you know, off the freeway after someone clips you and intentionally does this. Believe me, I have video camera evidence of them sitting right on my bumper at 70 miles an hour, illegal, having to stop and it won't get off, have to move. I mean, this is the kind of harassment I go through consistently. But
and
they've got me 3 times in a car crash, twice. You know, last ones I didn't roll or anything like that, but ruin the vehicle, ruin my back. But here's the point. They do that, or you get the shotgun behind the ear, 22 usually, and it spins around the skull and kills you. If you're lucky, it might come out your eye like Rossmacher. You ever hear him in Arizona? I think he's pretty much dead, but he was a reporter for the Arizona Republic and he used to do stories for me. And he sent a letter to the Congress about his knowledge of the drugs and guns coming in through Arizona using what you're speaking of and what you blew the whistle on. And he was a friend of Brian Quick's. Well, he ended up the post office one evening about 6 o'clock there in Arizona, and he goes in to get his mail and drops the mail off, and he comes out to get in his car, and someone just snuck up behind him and stuck a .22 behind his ear and pulled the trigger, came out his eyeball. The doctors that operated on him, because of who he was, didn't have any insurance. They did not charge him or the hospital for what had happened to him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, it's just
I sat with him.
This is why I don't know why people are more angry, because these are not suicides. These are homicides. These are soldiers being murdered, and they're just calling it a homicide. See, because we've learned now how dirty the police are, and the police are involved. And so, if police want to call it a homicide, they'll call it a suicide, and they'll just do a cover up.
Now, here's
the police are involved.
Here's one thing I know, Debbie, is that it's division, what's called division number 5 is where you have to point the finger, because that's where it lies. Division number 5 of the FBI, they're on the 7th floor in Washington, D.C. It's where Strzok worked. Remember Strzok had testified, and he was so arrogant, and he lied before Jim Jordan, Congressman Jim Jordan, and the others in those hearings, and this was judiciary hearings about Trump and the dossier and all the other. Well, he was the punk running the show at Division 5. Now, this guy, you know, they leave Division Number 5 and high up, and they, besides getting a big fat retirement check, they get a bonus of $5 million on top of it. This is the government. So, I want that bonus. I'll do anything for that bonus to the end. That's where they are. Tom Hennigan was the same way. Greedy little lying bastard. He became such a liar. That's the reason I cut him off 2 or 3 years ago. It was everything he was saying. Oh, Hillary Clinton's a Guantanamo Bay Cuban. The next day, she's at a funeral of a congressperson in Washington. Yeah. But here's the point. Division 5 of the FBI consists of your local police departments, the intelligence divisions. They're the ones driving around. They think they're part of something. They're like sergeants driving around in pickup trucks, and they're in regular clothes. And they follow, and they drive the streets all day long. Oh, so-and-so, we're monitoring Stu Webb, so make sure you follow him home. There they go. Follow me out of town, etc. And they do, folks. Now, that's the local police. Then you got the next police department next to them, etc. They take over, and they take over, and they take over. If they got hit team on you, they're calling the black hit teams. Most of them are Somalians and or Kenyans is where these people are coming from that are running out of Google Fiber, as an example, in Kansas City, where they run these blocks, and they'll have these cops telling them where he's at, and they'll try car crashing you. It's one of their favorite games. Now, that's if they can't get you with a bullet. Now, Division Number 5 consists of not only the local police, it consists of your sheriffs as well. It consists of highway patrolmen, so forth, that are actually operational, sign up, and are part of it for like 2 years at a time. And they're on basically government payroll. Now, this is FBI, so they can monitor everybody. They've got everybody's phones monitored. They know where you're at if you got your chip in your phone. By the way, folks, the new phones, I had to buy one at $250, didn't have the money, and I'm broke from it, but I had to because they ruined the phone. So the one I got, latest model, you know, that was cheapest latest model, the chip comes out the side. You can pull it out. The battery doesn't have to be out. You just turn it off, pull the chip. Now, Otis told me, other super spooks have told me, they can triangulate off of cell towers and find your location if you got your chip in your phone. So you want to get that off. Second, if you're like me or Debbie, your cars are bugged. I know I got a bug on mine, and I've got a guy going to run a wand on it this next week, and we're going to find the bugs. But there's a bug on there. I know there is. Now, they just stick it in the frame or whatever. There's certain people they target. I've been told by Otis, he said, Stu, I looked into you to see how serious it is with you. He says, they spend between $1 million and $1.5 million each year monitoring you. I said, no shit. Why don't they just give me a paycheck and I might go away? You know, I mean, that's how much money. They want me dead. Now, When I had the car crash roll over, nearly killed me, smashed my head. You can see the picture on the front of my site, folks. Now, there's a report, for some reason, it doesn't come up proper, and I found it last night, night before last, and I'm going to put it up today. When you go on the car crash, you can read the report. It's not, it's messed up on the site for some reason. They've got to it. But here's the point, is that that was attempted murder. And the guy that was running the show, Division Number 5, Kansas City, Missouri, operating out of the Jackson County Prosecutor's Office, is where they operate out of, because I've spawned them back, chasing them, back to there where he went in with a card in the back of the garage, four-story garage or five-story, whatever, is on hooked to the Jackson County Prosecutor's Office. I've discovered them in a Google Kansas City. I've discovered them in the FBI building down on Ward Parkway and another building north of there. Now, each city has various locations, and that's where mass amounts of cyber terrorist attacks have come from, is the Jackson County Prosecutor's Office and Google Fiber in North Kansas City. Millions of felonies. On my website, I have proof and evidence, and soon they're going to have to pay in court, because I'm taking them to court because of what they've done to me recently in a false arrest. Now, false arrests were the broad sitting there. I finally got the evidence from the prosecutor. And you'd see the videos, I posted them a long time ago, which, pointing a finger at me. That was a picture taken over 13 miles before that. Then I take her up, she bumps into me. I didn't even know she was, I knew she was way back behind me. But I'm going to write an affidavit, and I'm going to put the audios up. She's sitting there telling the police, oh, he just got out of his car. He's pointing a gun at me. He's pointing a gun at me. Oh, I'm so scared. And I'm sitting there holding a videotape at that moment, folks, you can tell. And I'm sitting there on the phone with the police telling them I'm being stalked. And I said, I go up to St. Mary's Hospital. She's blocking an entry here. And she said, oh, I've got him blocked in right now. He just got out of his car with the gun. I got a camera in one hand, phone in the other. I have my affidavit. But I got the proof and evidence she lied, okay, to get me arrested. It's because I identified her 13 miles before, sneaking around behind me, because I pulled the parking lot, was sitting there getting a couple license numbers, and she pulls around behind me. She didn't think I saw her. And so I pull around when I left, and I pulled up her, and I videoed her. And it's up on my side on the top, and I pull, and you can hear, because I got audio and video on the camera, and a little $30 camera at Walmart, folks. They work great. Anyway, I pointed at her and told her, quit stalking me. I said, you've been stalking me for a week or two. And she had. I'd seen the car various times, sneaking around. So I nailed her. Then I turn around and leave. And 13 miles later, she runs into the back of me. I get out of my car and walk back there, and I said, you ran into me. Get out of your car. You're under arrest. You're under citizen's arrest. She locks her doors. So I screamed at her, get off my ass. I pulled in the parking lot. And that's when I lit up the camera, pointed at her, then I put the chip in, the battery in my phone, because of the other phone, the battery came out. So I put them in, and I called 911. And I'm sitting there holding the video and holding the audio. And right at that time, while I'm talking to cops, she's saying to the cops, he just got out of his car. I've got him blocked. He just got out of his car. He's pointing a gun at me. I'm so scared. And then she says, in the latter part of the audio, she says, oh, by the way, he took a picture of me. Yeah, way back down the road, 13 miles, different city. Now, these are the kind of stalkers, and they just make up the bullshit. She's going to jail for this, and they're going to pay highly for this. Highly. Now, I put in a bill of particulars, the local court, because I had court back in whatever date it was, and preliminary, you know, plead guilty or not guilty. I pled not guilty, and as I told the judge, you know, got it set for August 11th. Hey, that's good with me. Sooner the better. He said, well, are you bringing any witnesses, anything you got? I said, I got my videotaped evidence, Your Honor. In the meantime, what I'm going to do is file a RICO lawsuit against him, Debbie. And I'm going to file a lawsuit against everybody that's done any damage to me since 2010, the first car crash. Three car crashes I'm owed for. And we've got cyber terrorists. We got a customer's house burned to the ground, that they burned to the ground, and their insurance was canceled like 3 days before. She thought it was the renewal, and she didn't pay it. She didn't even open the envelope. And it was a house that was given to them. And they've never been paid. And then I've got attempted murder twice on other things I can prove. And I'm getting ready to file it in federal court. And I've got a former prosecutor who's helping me do it.
So I have researched some of these programs of these type of people that are after you. You know, they try to make up, and they what they do is they try to turn around on you.
Right.
And make you like you're the criminal.
Mm-hmm.
And people are actually, do you know these people are actually getting paid to do that?
Yeah,
they're
I know. I know they're all part of this division number 5 of the FBI is what it is. It became so corrupt all across this land because of Katoa and Daddy Bush when he was CIA director. That's when they infiltrated. Now, as an example, when the first car crash, Rover tried to murder me, the guy that running the FBI was named Stone Street here in Kansas City, Craig Stone Street. He's the cousin to Mitt Romney.
Mitt Romney's evil. He tried getting me, I had a really bad experience in Idaho because of him.
Let me tell you about the Romney family for everybody to know. I have a little history here. My great-grandfather, for the edification of listeners real quick, he was Orrin Porter Rockwell. You can look him up, Orrin Porter Rockwell. He was the Utah Marshal for the territory of Utah, which encompassed New Mexico, or Arizona, New Mexico, California, Utah, and some other place. Anyway, he's the one that, when the Mormons decided to do a church in Salt Lake City, well, that was his territory. So he had to protect the innocent people, Americans. Well, they didn't want him forming a church, the evil side at the time. And they were coming from all over the world to form this church. And matter of fact, I call him my grandfather. He's three greats off. He was arrested for killing Governor Boggs of Missouri to shut him down because they were transporting from Illinois down near St. Louis, clear to Utah, making sure wagon trains were safe. He deputized people as a U.S. Marshal. Now, they arrest him for killing Governor Boggs. He sat in the Independence Jail, which still to this day has his rocking chair. It's a history museum because of him, uptown Independence Square. Now, he got off the charges because he proved who killed Governor Boggs. He had his deputies out there digging, and they proved it. He got out of jail. He still remained. They called him the Avenging Angel. People went up and pointed a gun at him, faced right on his face, and shot him in the face, and it never hit him. And this was the history of him. They called him, there was a movie made about him. Here was the point. He chased Mitt Romney's grandfather, great-great-grandfather, before Mitt Romney was born, this 1800s, late 1800s, he chased him down to the Mexican border. He was 2 days behind him. Mitt Romney's grandfather had 6 little girls between 11 and 13 years of age, and 3 of them were pregnant. He had his harem going. You've heard about the Mormons and their harems. That was Mitt Romney's family. And they went to Chihuahua, Mexico, or Chihuahua, the dog name, Mexico. And if you notice, there was a big drug play here about 6 to 8 months ago down there, and a bunch of killings went on. It was part of his family because they control the drugs. But Mitt Romney comes from a child who was raped probably by this pedophile. The pedophile family. Now, when Mitt Romney ran for president quite a few years back, he had a cousin come on TV, and I was listening to her because I monitor stuff like that. She's, oh, yeah, we have a big family. We've got 150 cousins. I don't know anybody that's got 150 cousins. You'd have to have 6 little girls to match up that many cousins.
Yeah, it's creepy.
Mitt Romney is illegitimate child, by the way. He was born in Mexico, and he's not an American. And he's a U.S. senator now. And he controls the Mormon church now because it's totally corrupt. Totally corrupt.
Yeah, I don't trust him at all. I've heard it goes way back with him. Yeah. So, but, in Utah, I mean, I got pulled over when I went through Utah, and then when I was coming out of Idaho, I got pulled over for no reason at all in Utah, and then I got pulled out of my car by a corrupt police officer just coming out of the state fair.
for no reason. I was coming out of the Idaho State Fair, and I got targeted by a police officer. You know, everybody's coming out at the same time. And they tried to say, oh, I was driving erratically. Oh, you know, I'm just going along with the crowd, you know, driving out of the fair, you know. But, of course, I get targeted. And he, the Idaho cop that pulled me over, he said, you have a warrant. And I said, no, I don't. I said, I just got here to the state, and I don't have any kind of federal warrant. Officer, I'd like to see, you know, where you're getting this information. And I tried calling, and then I tried getting on my phone, and he grabbed the phone out of my hand and literally pulled me out of the car physically and assaulted me and arrested me. And I still to this day have no idea why I was arrested that day. Yeah.
Now, you've been stopped lately, as everyone else has. I am. A lot of people are reporting to me that they're being screwed with their phones, communication, their bank accounts, you know, everybody.
Oh, they're screwing with my phone.
Yeah, and, constantly being harassed. You're a whistleblower. We're sitting here having an hour complaining what they're doing because it's legit. I mean, it's happening. And folks, you start looking at some of the people that have been targeted. I mean, they've used 60 Minutes to smash Jim Betzer, and he's a great guy. He's exposed a lot, that Sandy Hook, and they hit George Webb in the same piece on 60 Minutes. This is, what, 6 months ago or something? I mean, anything to tear down a person's reputation and try to destroy it, and that's what they do. They will accuse you of anything, and it's usually the stuff that they do. Now the problem, Debbie, you have, and I'm aware of who you are and what you've done, and what you've got to know in the way of knowledge down there about Arizona in particular, and that McCain crowd and the airbase and all the drugs and guns and even body parts and bodies, and I mean it's huge. It's part of that, you know. It's a problem in our country. Mm-hmm. It's a problem. And we need to all stop it one of these days. We're all going to have to get together and say, enough is enough. Because they're going to take out all the mouthpieces, and which they're doing now, trying to shut anybody down that has any kind of communication out to the public. They're trying to shut you down. And if you're a whistleblower, I guarantee you, they're trying to kill my ass too many times, too close, too many times. And I'm aware that the way that you're being stopped, they're after you as well.
Pull me over and on false charges. That's their favorite tactic with me because they know they can't, like, too many people know that I did the right thing. They can't discredit me. Like, I mean, so their favorite thing to me that they like to do with me is pull me over on false charges.
Well, they want to try to create a charge, hang you for something. And this is the game that they do, just like me, false arrest. You know, it cost me, folks, it cost me $750 when it was said and done getting out of jail and picking up my car and all the stuff on some stalker. Fuck. She's going to pay, but, you know, it's like unlimited on my phones.
But I think, I just don't understand why more people aren't upset about all these soldiers being murdered, because it wasn't just Fort Hood, it was also Fort Bliss. Fort Bliss has several unsolved murders also. Fort Bliss, and I don't know if you haven't heard about that too. They're unsolved. You know, they're just right here. Like it says, Fort Bliss sergeant, first class killed, shot and killed. Okay, you know.
The problem is
then fentanyl drug mix. Blamed for the death of some soldiers in some kind of sexual assault. Oh, yeah, that's normal. Fort Bliss soldier charged with murder and shooting death of former soldier, February 13, 2021. Fort Bliss soldier found dead in barracks, January 5, 2021. 20-year-old Fort Bliss soldier found dead in her barracks. 27-year-old from Hawaii, second of four to die at Fort Bliss. January 18th, 2021. These are not normal things. You know, so if you start putting these things together, knowing what I know about what happened at my base, it's just there's something wrong with these. They definitely are using these military bases for something, and it's dangerous.
Well, this general that is one of the top generals that was appointed by Biden over at DOD, he made a comment from what I heard from a couple, three listeners talked to me last week. I've been so busy with things that I haven't done much with my site or radio for a week. I had other things to handle. But here's the point. This general made a comment, apparently, that they're going to come get the guns soon from Americans. Now, General Flynn, good guy, made a comment, watch out for July the 4th. He made a comment on somebody's show here a week and a half, 2 weeks ago. He said, from that point on, he said, the American people are going to be in trouble. And he knows what's going on. He was a good guy. So, uh-huh. I don't know, you know, and this poly, the cyber thing that Whitney Webb writes about is coming up in August. They're going to be able to shut down all the noisemakers. Now, they're trying to put us all out of business, and I know that, Debbie, especially the whistleblowers. Oh, my God, they want to kill everybody.
Uh-huh.
No, they don't want you operating or speaking, and that's fact. And sorry to say, welcome to the real world. As a whistleblower, that's what happens to you. I mean, I've been doing it for 40 years, and by the grace of God, I'm still alive. It's just because of him I'm alive.
I didn't purposely try to become a whistleblower. I mean, you know,
I didn't either.
Base,
all I did is went and reported Millman to the FBI, and then all of a sudden I get arrested every time I got in my vehicle for DUI, and I wasn't even drinking. Passing the breath test and everything, but yet I get arrested. I beat them all. 13 of them in two weeks, folks. They were trying to put me in jail as soon as I went to the FBI and reported Leonard Millman, money laundering. That's what happened to me in 1986. And then by 1991, they had a warrant for my arrest because I caused the Keating 5, they dubbed it, the 200, MDC 200. The Denver International Airport fraud, $20 billion fraud, $500 million airport, and all the land frauds tied to Millman and Bush. And then we had the HUD scandal where they got 500,000 apartment units out of HUD illegally and was getting $8 out of $10, all going to the Wynn Group in Denver, which was on the board of directors of MDC, which was the parent company of Silverado Savings and Loan, where Neil Bush, Larry Mizell, and Norman Brownstein sat as directors, money laundering from Iran-Contra. And I blew that scandal out. But you had also the HUD scandal, which is 500,000 apartment units under AIMCO of Denver. Can you imagine getting 500,000 apartment units?
Crazy.
In about a 20-year period of time, handed to you?
It seems like their favorite thing they're trying to do right now is buy up a bunch of real estate, you know, so people can't get homes. Like, a lot of people lost their jobs over COVID and lost, you know, their apartments or homes or whatever. And now they're, like, taking advantage of that.
Oh, yeah.
Buying up real estate so we have to see, their whole goal is to, like, have us all be sheep people and have us in, like, one area so they can control all of us all in, like, a, you know, in smart cities, you know?
Yeah, that's exactly what they want. And the thing is, like down there in Arizona, the prices have doubled, folks, on housing. It's gone up about a fourth, 25 to 35% here in Kansas City. And rents,
yeah.
I mean, they're becoming, in some of these cities, like in Colorado, California, they can't afford it anymore. People are having to move out of there, displaced. We got a lot of homeless in this country. People don't realize. Got a lot of people in cars, sleeping in cars, in warm climates. I mean, it's bad.
What do they want? They want us just to be homeless and dependent on, like, government housing.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So this is what's going on. Catherine Fitz, she was the one that sent in to clean up HUD after I caused the HUD scandal, Wall Street. And she's written about in a book called Bushwhacked. My name appears, her name, Al Martin, a whole bunch of us. Yuri DeBanco wrote it. But she had come to me after all those years, I didn't even know she was appointed by Jack Kemp, who kept her at bay not to investigate Milman and the fraud because of the scandal I caused. Congressional ordered it. He kept her at bay, fired her, actually, and turned around and rehires her and the whole bit. She came to me years later and because she knew I was the one that blew the scandal. And so I got her attention, got her, you know, a story, and DeBankel actually did the, are you there, Debbie?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Mm-hmm. My phone went crazy. DeBankel actually did, you know, the book on it, did the story for me and the whole bit. But she's out there talking about, she's pretty accurate on it. She's talking about how, because of the COVID, all the businesses, the small mom pop operations of restaurants mainly, had gone collapsing. And the whole bit, a lot of the other small operators had to close their doors. She said that they're in there picking up the real estate is what they're doing. It's the boys again. Getting in there, the guys with the money, the Mizell boys, and all of them are taking the rest of the real estate. They're buying the rest of the buildings, and they're creating these inner cities like you're talking about.
Because
they're doing it right here in Kansas City.
Yep. Yeah. We're doing it.
New rail car expansion, rail car, you know, from downtown all the way out to the plaza now.
Well, there's too many people for years that have said, oh, it's too dangerous to get involved in it. You know, it's too dangerous to get involved. I think we're at the point now where we're too dangerous not to get involved, don't you?
I'm in agreement with you 100% because we have a Bill of Rights, we have a Constitution, we have a government that supposedly works for us. But it isn't. It's totally the opposite way. It targets you if you open your mouth. If you don't take your shot and vaccination, you're going to get targeted. And if you do anything against their will, you're going to be targeted. I mean, we're living in a time, Debbie. I really believe that we are having end time fulfillment of prophecies that are in a lot of Bibles, a lot of different versions of them. It just looks, you have to look at how it is. But this vaccination, it's already proven it's got the chip in it. That's Revelation 13, Mark of the Beast. I've seen a shift in the past year of evil. Like I've never seen it come out of the woodwork. Man, I'm telling you what, I got in a cat fight, prayer fight. You couldn't believe it. I mean, I was being attacked by two cats, big cats, every time I went to pray for their salvation. And this went on for about 8 hours. I couldn't get any sleep. When I got up, a miracle happened. My father was sent to the hospital. That's how I got him out of this nursing home. And I still have a nursing home problem, folks. Big, big one. And I got an attorney to take care of that big problem. But anyway, I don't want to get into it. But everybody's being targeted. Everybody.
Uh-huh.
Even my own father was being targeted, Debbie, on his telephone. He had a chip in it. Couldn't take it out. I wouldn't even call on the phone. They didn't have the phone number that I was aware of, but they did. And it kept calling from this something resources deal. And his leg was turning black. And he was sent to the hospital. And his phone, he didn't have it. I asked the nursing home to give me his phone. I took it home, plugged in, charging. That's how I found all these numbers, the same people. I started calling him, 40 of them. I was calling him every day. What they were doing is frying him. I had the phone at my place. And I realized how bad it was. So I buried it. But here's the point. His leg got totally fine. One leg got, it went from black to normal skin color in 5 days at the hospital. They were electronically hurting him.
Good thing you caught it. Yeah, we have to be careful with our phones. We'll target our phones. Yeah. But we should probably start wrapping it up.
Yeah, let's wrap it up. Give me your last words. What should the American people do, Debbie?
Well, I just think that, like I said, I think that it's too dangerous not to get involved. And, you know, it's not, it can't just be a handful of people that have the bravery, you know, because we've been through too much. You know, there has to be more people involved because, you know, the whistleblowers like us, we're getting harassed too badly. And so
if there is
more people waking up, you know, we can't be the only ones that are standing up and saying something anymore. It just can't, you know, there has to be more people that have more bravery to stand up. And you know, I would be very upset if I had a soldier that was dead at one of these bases. Well, what about those parents? Aren't they upset? Why don't they say something? Why don't they speak up about their son or their daughter being murdered at these bases. I don't understand why more parents aren't speaking up. It's like I'd be like
they scare the hell out of them is what it is. And outside, a quick example with you was that guy that's on the morning show with what the hell? It's one of the TV stations he's on. Anyway, he was a former congressman, and his aide ended up dead over True Colors, it was called. She read the transcript that he had his hands on. Well, it was talking about assassination teams and shit. And she ends up dead. And then Tom Flacco did a story on him for me, and on this reporter. And it's on my website. I'm trying to think of his name. But anyway, he gets a hold of the parents. They were livid that there was a story going to be talked about their dead daughter, because they had been threatened. They had been threatened bad.
Uh-huh.
Dead daughter, aide to a congressman. The guy's on TV every morning with some other female stooge that the two of them have hooked up together having an affair. I forgot his name. Anyway, that's an example. They threaten the families. It's a way to keep them, a lot of them, at bay. But Debbie, I'm going to let you close it out, let you say the last words here. And I want to thank you for coming on with us.
Yeah, thank you, Stu. Thanks for having us. And I would say, thank God you're still alive.
Well, I thank God I'm still alive, too. You want to close it with prayer?
Yeah.
I'm glad you're still alive.
Yeah, thank God. Thank God we're still alive. Thank you, Jesus. I just pray for our country. I just pray, Lord, please just protect our country, our soldiers, and I pray that you give them the strength, and not just the soldiers, but everybody, the strength to stand up and take our country back. And fear is the opposite of faith, and I just pray that you bind that fear. In Jesus' name, I bind that fear, and I give them, I just pray for people to have the strength of David and stand up and fight these giants, that we all have to fight together, because there can't just be few of us. There has to be more people.
And I would ask in the name of Jesus and by the blood of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, I'd ask for you to bring everybody that works for the government to salvation, Father. The entire government, from the bottom employee all the way to the top, all the way to Biden's head, Father. Everybody inside the government, bring them to salvation. Father, if they're unsalvageable, we're not supposed to be praying for their salvation, and it's up to you to judge them. But I would ask for you to start cleansing the house, Father. We are in these days, and it's time that people pick up the power that we have through you. You say, ask, and you can do more than I have done, he said, Jesus. Therefore, Father, I ask for warring angels against these people. Those that are trying to harm Debbie, those that are trying to harm me, those that are trying to harm other people. There's millions of us out here that are trying to harm in general. And I ask, Father, that you take your warring angels against those people. Those that are trying to bring harm to Debbie or I ask for their salvation, but I ask for your warring angels against them, Father. And I ask in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Oh, great. Amen. Thank you, Stu.
Thank you, Debbie. Have a good day.
Oh, you have a good day. Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye.